Right, I'm going to encourage us now to turn to the scriptures, and this is great to kind of have update in your hand and these other things, but this is really where we find as our church. This is like food to our souls. This is like a sword in our hand, not a sword for battle with people, but a sword for battle in the heavenlies, and something that enables us to move forward with love. It's the sword of the Spirit that divides our souls and makes sure it discerns that we walk in God's path. And so please grab one. If you don't have one, raise your hand, and Wendy and others are going to be bringing one to you right now. Thank you. We're looking at Luke chapter 5. We've been going through a series in Luke. If you are a visitor, you're picking up just after halfway. We're going through Luke chapter 3, 4, and 5, and we've been looking at what it means to be a follower of Jesus, this one who transforms the world and has transformed many of the lives around you in this place. Transform my life. And so we're going to read, and we're going to pick it up in verse 8. A couple of weeks ago, Steve Brady was preaching. He touched on this passage and talked about the story when there's this amazing catch of fish. Jesus has been teaching, and he's met some fishermen, and he's told them to go out and try one more time to catch some fish. And they do, and they catch this amazing bunch of fish. And then it says, when Simon Peter, who was one of the fishermen in verse 8, page 1032, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Why don't we just do that right now? Not the withdrawing to lonely places, but let's do the praying and ask for God to meet with us as we read his word. Jesus, we invite you. Come and speak through your word by your Holy Spirit. I ask for your help for me, but for all of us, Lord, that we would not just be hearers of your word, but doers also. And I pray that as we come before you and we come before your word, we would come humbly. I need your help. But I believe, Lord Jesus, that all of us need your help as well. So I ask this for your name and for your glory. Amen. On Remembrance Sunday, it's really good just to take some time and be quiet, to be still. I remember, I think, as long as I can remember back, taking time each year, and just whether it's school or whether in a service like this, to just pause and have a moment, like John was saying, for remembering, for reflection, for fresh resolution, a moment for prayer. And in those times, as I've looked back and as I thought today, often two things see me as very obvious about war. The first is that war is a reminder that men can be incredibly greedy and wicked and violent. Unfortunately, it's not just true of men, but of women. And it's not just true of a few men in one time of history or one place in history. It's something that we've seen across all nations, across all times. Why? Because these moments of remembrance are moments to remember that actually greed and hatred and what the Bible calls sin, which is our selfishness, is something that is very, very prevalent in our world. And it rears its head in ugly ways from time to time. And it didn't get stopped with the Treaty of Versailles or the end of the Second World War. Those things are still alive and well in the nations and even in our nation. You only have to look at some of the violence that's growing in television screens and video games and things like that. So it's a sobering reminder, isn't it, of greed and hatred and violence and sin. But it's also, I think, a very sobering reminder. This is the second thing that's always pretty obvious to me. I imagine to you that war brings incredible destruction and pain. Maybe even in that time of silence, you know and remember people who maybe, if it's not them you've lost, maybe it's friends of theirs or relatives of theirs, loved ones who've either been affected by the trauma of war or they themselves have lost their life by the trauma of war. Real people, real lives, real consequences. And our passage ends with Jesus in a time of prayer, almost getting away from the hustle bustle of life and ministry, just taking time to pause, a bit like that moment of quiet, a bit like how many do in that time of quiet pray, and not just look at ourselves or look at the world around us and get a fresh perspective on that or a right perspective, but to look up and get a right perspective on God and how does God see things? You know, many of us have been praying this week, in this week of prayer, and I want to say thank you for those who've come and prayed in various places or with your families or at home or at work. And don't worry if you've kind of been away for a week or two and you feel like you've missed a week of prayer. Don't worry. Next week, please pray. It says here, do you notice in verse 16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and pray. Why not make it a habit, even things that you've learned this week, and become someone who regularly prays? Why? Because prayer gets us to have that right perspective. Changes the way we see things. Enables us to see God for who he really is, but to start seeing ourselves and those around us as God would see us. That's the title of our message this morning. Following Jesus changes the way you see people. Changes how you see people. I don't know if as you look at yourself or others, maybe you see someone like this. You see someone who's kind of doing all right. He's got a number of good friends and got okay job. Some days it doesn't go so well. But basically their life's ticking over. And as you kind of think about them or you kind of think, yeah, they're doing all right. Or maybe as you look at yourself or you look at others, you maybe see someone who's very aware that life is very difficult. Maybe there's a sickness. Maybe there's a feeling of rejection. Maybe there's a sense of being isolated. Maybe you're just aware, whether you're in yourself or in others, of a huge time of struggle, brokenness. And I want to start with that word brokenness. That's my first point this morning, brokenness. Because in these two little cameos, these two little pictures of Jesus encountering people that we have in front of us in the passage, what's striking is that in both, very different characters end up falling on their knees before Jesus in a brokenness. Do you notice that? If you look in chapter 5, verse 8, it says of Simon Peter that he fell at Jesus' knees and said, and then it speaks of the leper in verse 12. It says in verse 12, when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him. There's brokenness in both of these little encounters with Jesus. But both of these guys are very different. Simon is a bit more like that first person we were thinking of. You know, he kind of has got a lot of friends. He's got good family around him. He's got a job. Okay, that night as he was fishing, it wasn't doing that great, you know. It was struggling. He hadn't caught anything. Business wasn't good. Maybe you can relate to that. But he thought he was doing okay. He thought he was doing okay, that is, until he started realizing that he was comparing himself with those around him, not with the perfect, holy, amazing Son of God, Jesus Christ. Look what it says. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. And they suddenly realized that not just miracles happen, but that this man, this Jesus, does miracles. This Jesus is not just the person who he thought he was, a great moral teacher or a rabbi of the time. This Jesus is God come to earth, one like no other. This Jesus is someone who is going to expose Peter for all he truly was. And I don't know about you, well, I kind of maybe do know a bit, but I know about me that I often think I'm doing okay when I compare myself to my neighbor, or that person on telly, particularly if it's like EastEnders or Coronation Street, because they always seem to be a lot of problems. Or even sometimes just others around me. I can think I'm doing okay. Okay, not perfect, you know, none of us are. But I'm all right. But when I get before or I encounter this man, Jesus Christ, this God man, and I see his holiness, and I see his splendor, and I see his command to love others and to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I see him saying, well, what does that look like? And it looks like everything in your life, being not lived for yourself, but for others. And I start realizing, David, I'm a sinner. I start realizing that there are things in my life that still need to change. And Peter realized that as well. In fact, he summed it up like this. He said, "I am a sinful man." And I just want to be real with you all and say, I think we all need to get to that place. You might be there regularly. You might have never got to that place where you know what it is to be broken before God and say, I am a sinful man or woman. You might have never got to that point of realizing that you are actually needy before God. But Peter got there, and it was crucially got there, because for his relationship to go on with Jesus, he needed to realize that he needed Jesus. He needed to realize that he needed something to change within him. And so many times people in our city, or even people in the church, don't really realize how wonderful Jesus is, or that they need him, or don't realize that their lives are sinful or desperate before a holy God, because they're comparing themselves with just things on telly or with one another. They haven't really looked and gazed upon who this Jesus is and what he's like. And so I want to call us this morning to a fresh revelation of this glorious Jesus. And as we see him and as we remember him, and I loved John's, your points, you know, it's like this brokenness point, is remember our past. Look back at your life, even your life of the past week, and I bet in there's things that you realize are not going to stand before Jesus Christ. And allow him to break us in a right way. Allow him to come and recognize our need before him. But that's the first little character, not a little character, he's actually an amazing character who ended up being a central figure in the life of the early church, Peter, who later became the apostle. But we go on and see another character, the leper. Look at verse 12 with me. When Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This leper is very different from Simon Peter. Peter thought he was all right and work was kind of going kind of okay and he had friends. This leper was broken already. This leper knew that life was desperate, knew he was in need. This leper was one who, I don't know if you're aware of what leprosy is like, but leprosy is something, it's a terrible kind of progressive disease that affects your nerves and means that actually you end up often as a kind of subsequent consequence becoming disfigured or with different limbs not working and things like that. And if it's not treated, it can become very difficult. And in many times and in many societies, even today, because it isn't treated and because there's this kind of fear surrounding leprosy, often people were ostracized or rejected from society. It became not only a physical disability, but a sort of social disability and even a kind of spiritual sort of challenge. So often in society, things can become mixed physically, emotionally, and spiritually, or in society as well. And maybe let's ground it and even think today of how often those that are struggling with maybe a disability of some kind not only struggle with the disability, they struggle with how does society include them. Maybe it's severe old age, they find they're not only battling that, but with feeling of being more and more isolated. Or with mental illness. Real challenges in our society that are very common in many lives. And here's this leper. Broken. As so many are in our city, so many even in our church, very aware of their brokenness. Not like Simon Peter. These are different. These are people who know they're desperate. And they're different as well because actually, like this leper, they don't just think Jesus was a good moral teacher. They think, this Jesus, maybe he can help me. Look, I'm going to go to him and see if he can change this. And in fact, this leper comes with great faith that Jesus is not just someone who can say a few nice things, but someone who can change his situation. Look what he says. Jesus, when he saw him, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He's got confidence in who Jesus is, but he's broken. Two broken men. And in fact, I want to kind of bring them together and say, I think they're a lot more alike than we sometimes think. I think actually the leper is a great picture of even Peter and of us all, because sin is like leprosy. It affects every part of us. It's something that if we leave unchecked in our lives, it actually causes us to get numb and bits of our lives to get damaged in ways we might not even realize. And it's a terrible disease that kind of eats at us from within inside. And sin causes us to sometimes feel isolated, to feel like this leper, unclean. Causes us to want to withdraw from God's presence like Adam and Eve did even in that early chapters of the Bible. Like Simon Peter does here as he encounters Jesus. And so that's what makes what happens next in both of these stories so amazing. Because Jesus, with compassion, restores them both. Look at this. Secondly, restoration. Look what Jesus says to Simon Peter. Can you look with me? It says, then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, surely sinful Simon Peter had every right to be afraid. Here was someone who could do miracles, who was plainly no ordinary man, who was perfect, who was God come to earth, no less. Surely it's right for us sinful human beings to be afraid, to run from him. And in many ways it is, except that God is a God who still loves sinners and wants them to come to him. And he comes in the person of Jesus to forgive sinners, to restore sinners. To say to them, don't be afraid. And what about the leper? The leper comes and begs and falls at his feet. And does Jesus kind of go, ugh? No, he reaches out and touches the man. How powerful that must be for one who probably had never had someone while he had leprosy touch him. And what does Jesus say? I am willing. Be clean. What amazing words of restoration. And you know, as I was praying last night and I was longing that this would be a real time where we know there are real challenges in our world, real challenges in our lives here in this church, real struggles with not just our sinfulness and our temptations around us, but real struggles with our frailty and our physical limitations and how do others see us. Those are real things that we battle with, but here is the wonder of Jesus' love, is he comes to us this morning and wants to say to us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And he comes to us and wants to say, he is willing to restore us. And he wants to speak that amazing words over us as a church and over us as people and individuals again this morning. Be clean. Be clean. Be restored. Hallelujah. Let him do that for you again, this Jesus. Let him be the one who will not only forgive your sin, but will restore your relationship with him, will bring you back into a situation you need. You know, I've known in many times in my life, different points, as did even Simon Peter, different points of brokenness. Whether I don't know if you've had times like this, whether it's a time where you're broken because you feel so powerless. I had a time like that recently where I just thought, Lord, I can do nothing here. I so want to work. I can do nothing. If you had a time like that where something you desperately want to do, someone you want to help, and you just can't. You feel so powerless. Or if you had a time where God just reveals again your sinfulness. As you see who he is and you just feel broken. Broken with it. I remember a time just before I was baptized where I'd been thinking about decision about whether to get baptized for quite a long time. And I remember so clearly one night I was walking out the back of college and I just ended up falling to my knees broken. So aware that although I'd been a Christian for quite a long time and I'd tried to live a good life and done good things, if I was in any way trusting in my goodness, that wasn't what it's about. I needed to realize that I couldn't do anything to get myself to heaven. I needed Christ. I needed him so badly. At that moment, as I kind of fell on my knees and I was praying out the back of college, I just knew I wanted to be baptized. I wanted to tell everyone, it's about Jesus. It's not about David. It's about Jesus and what Jesus has done for David. And maybe you're even holding back from something like baptism because you've never come to that place of brokenness. But maybe you have. Maybe you need to again. Have you ever come to a place of brokenness over a circumstance that's just beyond your ability, your sickness or an illness or something like that, and you just need to come and say, you're stumped by it. You're so desperate for God to work. And in each of these situations, what my testimony has been is that God comes into those situations, into my brokenness, and he restores. He doesn't always restore it so that everything's nice and easy and sorted and everything's kind of back to normal. He doesn't always do that. He comes and restores my relationship with him. He comes and restores my confidence in the way he's working. He comes and says, David, don't be afraid. I am willing. Be clean. And he can do that for you again, even this day. He can tell you, if you will hear him, don't be afraid. He is willing. Be clean. You know, I was reading this book that George Verwer recommended, and I hope some of you picked it up. If not, I'm sure Dave Reese can help you get one. It's called A Calvary Road, and I'm just going to read a bit from it, just that I've found it so helpful as I was reading it. Calvary is obviously the place, many will know here, where Jesus died, the place of the cross, where through the cross, Jesus forgives our sin. He deals with our punishment. In life, he restores people, but in his death and his resurrection, that's the ultimate place where he brings his restoring power into people's lives. And it's also a place where we come and find ourselves back on the path. And he's actually talking, this guy, about a picture of what it's like to walk with God down the journey of life. Not just the journey of life, but God's way of life. His highway, if you like. And he says this, the only way onto the highway is up a small dark hill, the hill of Calvary. It is the sort of hill we have to climb on our hands and knees, especially our knees. If we are content with our present Christian life, if we do not desire with a desperate hunger to get onto the highway, we shall never get to our knees and thus never climb the hill. But if we are dissatisfied, if we are hungry, then we will find ourselves climbing. Don't hurry. Let God make you really hungry for the highway. Let him really drive you to your knees in longing prayer. Mere sightseers won't get far. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. At the top of the hill, guarding the way to the highway, stands the cross, gaunt and grim. And there it stands, the divider of time and the divider of men. And at the foot of the cross is a low door, so low that one has to stoop and crawl to get through it. It is the only entrance to the highway. We must go through it if we want to continue on our way. The door is called the door of the broken ones. Only the broken can enter the highway. To be broken means not I, but Christ. Simon Peter was broken. The leper was broken. Simon Peter was restored. The leper was restored. What about you? Do you know what it is to go onto God's path through the cross of Calvary, coming humbly, willing to be broken? And sometimes I'm ashamed to say, but we can give off the perception as Christians, even in a church like this, where actually being broken disqualifies you from the things of God rather than is a way through which God works. And so we can sometimes look at one another, and if you're going through a time of brokenness or you're feeling the depth of your sin or you're struggling in life, we can sometimes make it feel like, well, they're not doing great, whereas they might be doing way better than the rest of us. Who maybe are thinking, I'm okay, I'm doing fine in my own strength. No, we need God to come and restore us. To mold us. So that we're fixed, not broken. I don't know if you can spot what this is, if I can find it. No? Talk amongst yourselves. This might not work so well. Okay. Do you know what that is? Can you see it? It's a bit of wire, isn't it? Looks like an eye. And you know something about an eye? Is if you bend it, it becomes a C. There you go. A C is a bent eye. And we need to be people not with a big self-centered me in the middle, but we need to be people who are Christ-shaped. Still us, but with Christ working through us, bent to be as we truly are, molded, broken. So C is a bent eye. And you might be thinking, but surely it's better to be this way around. Well, you know, not everything is always best, you know, in that kind of way. This actually originally, before it was completely not as it tended to be, was actually a coat hanger. And it would need to be molded and broken back into shape. I don't know if you've ever broken your arm and so badly that they have to re-broke it before they fix it. That's what Jesus, the physician, comes and does to us. He takes our lives, says, trust me. It needs to be transformed. Are you willing to be broken in the hands of the master physician so that you can be restored to something beautiful and called to be doing the things that he would have you do? Because this is the amazing thing in this passage, is that it doesn't just end with a brokenness and a restoration. I love, John, your points. They're a bit like these. Broken is a sense of remembering the past. Restoration causes us to reflect on this Jesus before us. Do we really think that he, can we say with this leper, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. As we reflect, we think, yes, he can. And we realize he says, I am willing, be clean. But then also there's a resolve for the future. And what's that resolve? Well, it's to do what he calls us to. And so next we see in these passages a calling, an amazing calling that Jesus brings to us to be his agents of compassion in the world. Jesus' calling on our lives always is a calling not primarily for just ourselves, but for others. Do you see that with Peter? He says this, don't be afraid, from now on you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything and followed him. It was a calling to go and reach others, to stop seeing them just as people who could make his business survive, people who might buy his stuff, his fish, and instead to see these people as people he needed to reach out to, he needed to go to, and demonstrate this love and compassion that Jesus himself had shown to him. Well, what about the leper? Look at the story with me. In verse 13, we read of this amazing restoring. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. A calling to go and do something, to go and do something costly, like was Peter's calling, but a calling for the sake of others. A calling which has transformed them both so that they no longer see Jesus as they might have done before, but they know now longer as they see Jesus in a new light, they also see others in a new light. Not as those who should just do things for them or they can get things from, but those they can give to and serve and minister to. And so not only do they see people in a new way, but they see things in a new way. Things in a way which they're willing to sacrificially give. Because after all, they're just things. And the calling isn't about things. The calling is about reaching people. And so, Peter left, what does it say? Everything, and followed him. And this man, this leper, probably had hardly anything, goes and gives the offering for the sacrifices that Moses commanded. You can go to Leviticus 14 and read, if you like, what those sacrifices were. I did that when I was preparing, and it said, really, quite costly sacrifice. I thought, this is... how would a man like this have those kind of means to give sacrifices like that? And then when I got to the sort of three quarters of the way through the chapter in Leviticus 14, it says, if the man's means are not enough to make those sacrifices, and I thought, phew, it's going to kind of say he doesn't need to do anything, and it doesn't. It then says, let him give these sacrifices, and they still sounded like a lot, but they were a lot less than what was given before. Each one who's called is called along a costly path, a path where they realize it's not about things, it's about God and about others. And if you've come to be restored by Jesus, he will call you along that costly road, that Calvary road, along that road where you start seeing others in a new way, whether they're broken with sin or broken with physical illnesses or whatever, this messy world, you'll find yourself called and swept up to become a part of it. Like those who serve leprosy patients, many Christian organizations, one of the most famous, the leprosy mission that does amazing things around the world for leprosy patients. In fact, there's a story of... this is just a little book with loads of little stories. And one of them is a clipping from Corrie ten Boom's notebook where she says this. She saw a visitor once who saw a nurse attending the sores of a leprosy patient. And the visitor said this, I would not do that for $1 million, she said. The nurse answered, neither would I, but I'd do it for Jesus for nothing. See how she's seeing things and material things with a whole new light, this nurse. And she's seeing people with a whole new light because she's seen Jesus in a whole new light. So she's even doing things that she might not even do if someone was paying her. But she'll do them for Jesus for free. If you've never been broken and realize that Jesus is the restorer and savior of your soul for all eternity, and that you've not humble before him and saying, here I am, Lord. You've given me everything free. That's the amazing thing. He gives us our restoration free. Cost him greatly, given us free. But then he calls us to follow him. And that following of him is to go, reach, love, care, and show compassion to people, many in our city. This city is very broken. Very broken. People in this city, many isolated. Philip and I had the great privilege of meeting with the leader of the council again the other week, and she was just saying again how concerned she is for so many isolated in our city. So many broken with different things and challenges, and she was so thankful for the work that churches are doing. And I want to call you and say, please, let's in these days not sit back and say, well, I think I'm doing okay. And I think, you know, I think I look around the city. It all seems kind of fairly nice. And there's good stuff on telly today. Let's see people as Jesus sees them. Let's look at the city and even look through the walls into the things that are going on and say, this is not as it should be. Let's show the love and compassion of God. And let's not think that it's all just about what we do. Praise God, he's doing things in this city which I'm so excited about. And I'm excited because God's doing them. And we have a chance to pray for them or support them in different ways. But they're not Holland Road things. But I'm delighted they're going on. And I believe that the vision for us as Holland Road is something bigger than just the growth of Holland Road. It's for the growth of God's kingdom in the city and in the nations. Amen? Amen. And so I want to call us, even this week, to again, that costly call. That call to see others in this city. We often talk about the nations, and that's great. I've got a huge heart for the nations. But this city is where we know God's called us at this time. So let's roll up our sleeves. Let's dig into our hearts and into our finances and think, God, what is it going to cost us to really transform this city? So we're having next week, and I love this city, I love this church, gift day. Gift day where I'm going to call you to give generously as the Lord leads you to the work of God in this place, but also the work of God in other places, churches and organizations across the city. I want you to call you to be amazingly generous. Even at this time, like we'll be looking at tonight as we consider the story of Ruth, where there's challenges and fears. But to be a generous people so that the calling of God can go out in this place. You know, I've been thinking this week, if we had 10 churches in the city of 1,000 people and another 100 churches of 200 or more people, we'd be reaching about 15% of this city. So let's get on and pray and long for such moves of God in the city, because even then they will only be a small percentage of this hugely needy city. And let's thank God not only for what he's doing here. Praise God for another person who gave their life to Christ this week. Praise God for the growing numbers of youth and children. Praise God for things like parents and toddlers, which just seem to be wanting more and more people to come to them. Praise God for initiatives like that parenting teens course, which is going out into the community and just helping those in that challenging time of life. Praise God for all the many things that are going on in the life of the church. Praise God what he's doing through us in the nations. But let's not just look back and go, that's great what we did then, last year or last week. But let's look at this week, these few months running up to Christmas. And let's think, what would it take to be those who, like Simon Peter, know the call of God that says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. And it's helpful to remember with the man with the leper that the different callings sometimes have different costs. We're not all called to give the same amount. We're just called to give as the Lord leads us. We're not all called to do the same things, to the same ministries. But we're all called. If we're restored, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not sure what your gifts and where you can serve the Lord is, then I'd encourage you, look in your update. There's a course that we're running at the end of the month, a spiritual gifts course where you can find your gift and you can see how that's useful for God and in this church and in what God's doing in the city even. And get stuck in these days to all that God may want and have for you. So, brokenness, remember the past. Restoration, reflect on the present. Reflect on who Jesus is. And then a calling to be the kind of people that Christ was. People of compassion, people who are generous, people who are willing to make costly sacrifices. You know this? I was thinking as I was preparing that our giving and our sacrifices, our following of Jesus, whatever the cost, is to be a testimony. It's like a light, a sign, like this man's offering in verse 14. A sign so that it looks and points to Jesus and others know and see that he is worth it. This Jesus who's restored us, he is worth it. He's wonderful. He's saved me. He's healed me. He's the one who forgave me, who's given me eternal life. He is worth it. He's the Lord, the Savior, God come to earth. So will you come humbly before him? Will you be willing to let him break you afresh? Will you be willing to receive his restoration as you hear it? Will you be willing to be part of that ministry of bringing restoration to others, telling people even this week, don't be afraid. Jesus is willing. He can make you clean. Don't be afraid. Be clean. I love this verse 15. It says this, yet the news about him spread all the more. I long for that. I long that the news of Jesus would spread all the more because we as people here have experienced something of what Simon and the leper went through. So I want to pray right now, and I want to pray a prayer that I think every one of us here could pray. It might be that some prayed here for the first time. It might be that some pray this, and they've prayed prayers like this many times in the past. But I'm going to use words from Peter and words from this leper. And I urge you, echo them in your heart. These are words of brokenness, they're words of restoration, and they're words of receiving again this calling of Jesus. So let's bow our heads as we just come towards the end of our service together. Let this be a moment of quiet just before I pray to consider, what do you want to do with your life? Are you ready to stand before God in all of his glory and holiness? For one day everyone will. Or do you need to recognize that even now you can come before him? And maybe say for the first time or for many times that has been said, words like this. Jesus, I am aware that I am sinful and needy. But if you are willing, you could make me clean. Thank you that you are willing. I receive your cleansing, your forgiveness, your restoration. I offer you my life, my time, my treasure, my talent. Be afraid. And may my life be used to help others encounter you. Amen.